Hello there. If you're listening to this, you love movies.
What a coincidence. We love movies too.
And we also think you love our YouTube channel, Muncher Movies.
We create all kinds of videos about movies, including video versions of these Film Feud episodes, video essays, and movie and TV reviews.
Like the show Good, Bad, and Filmy with Harsh and Shreyas, the best movie review show on the internet.
Of course, the best. Also, we do trailer breakdowns, react videos, and so much more.
So do check it out and please subscribe. It goes a long, long way.
With that, let's jump into the episode.
In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions. One coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Nothing much.
Ready for another 2020 feud?
Of course, man. Always.
Why don't you tell the good folk, our listeners, what we're doing here today?
So we take a movie, we toss a coin, heads argues for and tails argues against. Simple.
Pretty simple. And the movie we're feuding this week is a very hot, trendy movie.
It is.
And as we sit here today recording, the Oscar nominations, that is, are about to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is supposed to find itself in the mix for Best Picture, man.
It did pretty well in the Golden Globes.
Well, to clarify, the movie we're feuding is Parasite.
Yes, the Korean sensation.
The Korean sensation made by the Korean sensation Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah.
Why don't we give a shout out to why we're feuding this movie in the first place?
Yeah, shout out to Raghav Baburi. You can find him on Instagram at raghav._Baburi. That's B-O-B-B-U-R-I.
You sure you're saying that right? What if it's Bobbiuri?
Why don't we let him correct us with this?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Raghav, if we didn't get your name right, which we probably didn't, please reach out to us, let us know. I actually had a chat with him over Instagram, and he's a big fan of the show. So thanks a lot for supporting it, Raghav.
Yeah, thanks, Raghav. And it's a pretty interesting movie to feud.
I have not had a chance to see this movie yet, and I'll be honest, I was kind of waiting for it to come out in theaters so I could go and pay money to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But Raghav has pointed us to this feud.
I'm wondering how he saw it.
Yeah, I'm wondering how he saw it as well, and I'm going to see it the same way for this feud.
Oh, is it on any platforms yet?
No, it'll be for free.
Oh, free.
Yeah, we'll support it when it comes out later. But I'm pretty excited. Now, I want to clarify, I know nothing about this movie, apart from the fact that it's a sensation. Do you?
I know nothing as well, except that it won a Golden Globe for Best Foreign Movie, and there's a lot of hype around it, and as per my usual tactics, I didn't read up on anything about it, so I'm going into this blank.
I'm going into it cold as well, so I'm pretty excited. So why don't we get to it?
Yeah, let's toss the coin.
I'll be tossing the coin. Heads means I argue for Bong Joon-ho's Parasite, and tails means I argue against. Let's go. And it's heads.
Okay.
That can't be wrong. Best foreign film sensation.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's your argument?
You have no argument either, so yeah.
It's Parasite, bro. It's Bong Joon-ho. Listen, I've seen his most recent mainstream movies. Have you?
I've actually seen two, maybe three of his movies.
You watched the recent ones? I watched Okja.
Okja, I saw Snowpiercer as well, and I think I've seen The Host as well, which was one of his earlier movies.
Yeah, I believe The Host was like some crazy sensation, the highest grossing movie in Korea at the time. I haven't watched his Korean movies. I liked Okja, I like Snowpiercer. The man has talent, there's no doubt. The man also won not only the Golden Globe for the movie, but he won the Palme d'Or? Dior?
Good job.
At Cannes Film Festival.
At Cannes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did.
That's a huge deal.
Well, it's always been hit
and
miss.
I'm just saying the odds are in my favor.
They are in your favor, but then we've seen a lot of duds of people who won the Palme d'Or.
Listen, I got you to admit the odds are in my favor. That's more than most feuds, so you must be really whimpering to have admitted that. So you know what? I'm good. I'm feeling good about this feud.
Are you done? Can we actually go watch this movie?
Okay, let's go watch.
Instead of speculating.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Vikram, we've done it.
We've done it.
We've done it.
Congratulations.
You know, we have finally coalesced the beloved filmmakers, the Coen brothers, into one genius Korean man. He's the size of both of the Coen brothers combined. He has the personality of both the Coen brothers combined. And he has the filmmaking genius of both the Coen brothers combined.
Okay.
Amazing. Okay. Amazing. What a piece of work. What a masterpiece.
Okay, calm down. For a few things that we haven't done shit.
All right. We've done it.
We haven't done shit.
We as a society have come together.
We didn't give birth to this man.
We by talking about it, by Raghav recommending this movie to us, we are supporting this movement.
You hadn't seen the movie till like what, half a day ago, so you haven't done shit. I haven't done shit.
Listen, when America sent a man on the moon, it's not like everybody was like, oh, India hasn't done shit. The humanity came together and we were like, we've done it.
No, India didn't do
Similarly,
shit.
Similarly, with the accomplishment of this movie, we have done it. We have figured out how to do black comedy in a foreign film.
Why are you firstly even like associating yourself or trying to take credit for this? India didn't do shit when sending a man to the moon. It was all USA.
By that
maybe
logic,
Russia
we don't do shit
bit.
When India wins a war either. You and I just like sipping Diet Coke and, you know, getting high, you know. Okay. But we still say we did it.
What was the last war where that happened? I'm curious.
In 1999, India went to war.
We were getting high when we were 10 years old. That's epic.
Off like glue, but you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Don't hold on to the word we. Refute the Coen brothers.
I completely disagree with that.
What are you talking about?
I completely disagree
Black
with
comedy
that.
Genius.
I don't disagree with the height-weight ratio combination there. That might be similar. I actually don't know what Ban Ki-moon weighs or how tall he is. So I'm
did
not
you just
too
call him Ban Ki-moon?
Isn't that his name?
You did that on purpose. I'm going to slap you in the face.
Isn't that his name?
Oh, yeah. Isn't Ban Ki-moon his name?
That's the only Korean name that like flows in my tongue. So
Jesus. Firstly, pop quiz. Who is Ban Ki-moon?
He's the UN Secretary General.
See? You knew that. So stop it.
What is his name? Can you tell me his name?
Bong Joon-ho.
Ban Ki-moon.
Oh my God.
Okay. So
racist.
I'm sorry. I don't refute the height-weight ratio combination, but as a filmmaker, I don't get it, man. Firstly, this movie's not in English, which pissed me off. I thought it wouldn't piss me off as much.
That's
but
your point?
It didn't. You know
that's what you're leading with?
So
non-facetiously?
I'll tell you what, okay? I think this guy should do English movies. I think his English movies are much better. I've seen two Korean movies that he's made.
Okja and Snowpiercer hold not even a candle to this movie, or whatever the expression is.
Forget Okja. I wasn't too big a fan. I don't understand the hype around that movie, but Snowpiercer was fantastic. And even though it had like source material to go off of, I've seen two Korean language films from this guy, and I've seen two English language films from this guy, and English far outtrumps like the Korean stuff. So
dude, he himself said Snowpiercer was his hallway movie. And this is like his stairway movie.
What does that even mean?
I mean, Snowpiercer was set on a train, so it's like a hallway. It's like almost a genre, right? Like, oh, you're moving through the train, almost like a game or something like that.
Okay.
And stairway movie is like, think like Downton Abbey, like an upstairs, downstairs, like glass device.
Oh, the whole basement situation here?
Yeah, which is played on the nose here. It's literally upstairs, downstairs to show class divide.
I didn't even know those were genres.
Did you just
make genres?
That's because you're a pleb.
I'm a pleb.
You're not a foreign film loving
connoisseur. Half a day ago, you didn't know they were genres. So let's keep the name.
Like Downton Abbey. Like it's that literally on the nose. And like one of my big problems this movie while watching it,
ooh,
because I went into it cold, was I felt it was too on the nose. And then the movie kept professing how self-aware it was. At one point, like the son actually says, oh, it's a metaphor. And you realize like being on the nose is part of the movie's charm. And it's amazing, man, to watch a movie like this cold. I had no idea what this would be about. I didn't even know the genre of it. I was so pleasantly surprised.
You know what? I'll be honest. When the movie started, and maybe the first half of the movie, it took me a little while to get into it because they didn't have any backstory to the characters. They just kind of throw you into the situation and the characters start like conniving and try to like just get money or like being leeches, parasites in this case with other people. So that took a little time to get used to. And once it did, it was kind of interesting. But the third act kind of threw me off with completely in terms of where this movie was headed and where this movie actually ended up being. And I'm not...
Are we getting into the third act? I mean, tell me what to get into. You're not making any points. You're just like, I don't like it.
You came up with genres or you just learned about genres and you threw that at me. So I don't think you have any points either. Let's get into the third act.
Listen, what about the potency of its themes? Like, did that not strike you? Has that not stayed with you?
Not at all, because there was no potency. And like you mentioned, it was too on the nose to have any effect. Oh, their clothes smell. Let's hammer that four times in the movie. oh, that's the class divide here. They live in a basement and they live in a big house. Their clothes smell. Their smell comes.
You don't have to focus on the on-the-nose like plot connivations. Focus on like what the characters are
feeling.
That's
a major theme in the movie, isn't it? The class divide.
Yeah, but the father, what he's feeling, like how they feel about people who they perceive as even lower than themselves when they find the housekeeper's husband in the basement. And then they realize to the people above them, the Parks, the family, the rich family, they're the equivalent. Like there's no, they're the lower classes. There is no one lower beneath them. And how that builds to the third act with the father stabbing the Mr. Park. I'm going to struggle with names here. So we're going to have to go with like father, daughter.
Just call everyone Ban Ki-moon.
No, my God, please. Let's attempt at least not to be super racist or understanding of other cultures.
Why don't we just get into the third act and deep dive there? Because I think that's where the movie completely goes off the rails. And if he would have sort of stuck to the line of what he was building to, it would have been a fantastic movie. I'd give credit where it's due. But the third act completely killed it. The thematic focus on this movie of the class divide and how this weird family is just trying to leech off of richer people and try to earn their nut
like
via that.
Like a parasite.
Wow. Mind blown. It completely goes off the rails because I didn't feel for the dad when he ended up killing the rich dad. I didn't feel it. The only thing that led to it was his daughter was dying in his arms. But the thing that actually pushed him over the edge was the smell again.
It's not the smell. It's the fact that he was being asked to drive whoever to the hospital while his daughter had been stabbed.
No, it was the rich dad trying to find the car keys and then finding it below the stabbed guy and the smell throwing him off. That was the thing that pushed him over the edge. It wasn't anything else. Anything else, it was building to it. That was rumblings.
But his daughter is bleeding to death. And that moment is like his realization of something that he feels he should have known all along, that their lives are in service of this richer family. They're at the whims of the employer because of poverty, right? So, by the way, I guess dad and rich dad is like as good a name as any that we can go with.
Yeah.
Even though the dad is
Song Kang-ho. Boom!
Biggest stars of Korea.
I don't think he's that good.
Oh my God, blasphemy.
I like the old boy guy better, whose name I know as well. Choi Min-sik.
Wow.
Because I've seen a bunch of his movies as well. I've seen a bunch of this guy's movies as well. He does a lot of stuff with Ban Ki-moon. So we've seen a lot of his characters in like Ban Ki-moon movies. But Choi Min-sik kills
Please,
it.
Please stop it.
I'm sorry.
Bong Joon-ho.
Let me note that down so that I don't make a mistake again.
Well, the point is, I think he did a great job because I could just feel the dread. Like, what is this guy going to do? Because he was such a, I don't know, limp potato the whole movie. And then it just comes out in this like
limp smelly potato.
There we go. And then it just comes out in this moment of like him actually just lashing out and stabbing, sort of a symbol for being downtrodden. Rich dad didn't do anything to this guy. Not really. I mean, he was his employer. He had his own.
He just called him smelly a bunch of times.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
to his face, beyond his face. And then after that, like he goes missing, and then he ends up living in the basement. Did you like that part?
Genius. This is apparently what Bong Joon-ho said. Like, really came to him. He knew this was going to be the ending. That at the end of the day, poor dad, goes and becomes a parasite. Mm-hmm. Goes lives in the basement. And he goes and does what he was looking down upon with the housekeeper's husband as like a means of survival. And then that's sort of the second last ending. And then the ending is like this fantasy that the son has, mm-hmm, of becoming rich, where I don't know if Bong Joon-ho intended this, but you know, there's so much to read into the movie where, okay, the next generation feels like they'll rescue the previous generation, but it's a total fantasy. And that's the final scene of the movie where you see this son-father meeting fantasy and it's like Inception. Like, did it happen? Did it not? And then it just pans down back to the basement where the son is sitting there and you know he's not going to go anywhere. Like, the poverty and the vicious circle will continue. That was so potent, man. It's like stuck with me. You know, it's still with me. You know, like a parasite. Huh?
You've tried really hard, dude. You tried really hard. I didn't feel it at all, especially the what you call the second last ending and even the last ending where he goes back to the basement. Firstly, I didn't get this feeling that poor dad was looking down upon the basement uncle. I don't even know what to call him. I didn't get that feeling at all. So I think that's something that you're just cooking up or reading between the lines and forcing through.
Well, this movie lets you read between the lines. That's what great art does.
Yeah, just like, kuch bhi phek do, and then people can just assume shit. And then
Well, most movies, it's not like you can watch a Rohit Shetty movie and be like, kuch bhi phek do, right? Bong Joon-ho has built a canvas where you can read between the lines.
Nice spectrum choices, end to end. Rohit Shetty and Bong Joon-ho. See, firstly, I did you a favor by
I'm
not
proud
saying,
of you. Thanks.
Thank you. I didn't get that feeling. So the whole thing of him actually going to the basement and hiding there and becoming quote-unquote parasite, I didn't feel that at all. I didn't feel for that at all. I didn't think that was impactful. And the fantasy stuff is just straight shit. It felt like he didn't have the right ending to it, so he just like wrote something that was let the audience decide. And then, you know, like the typical the most impactful ending is where the audience decides what the ending is, so let's just write that into the script. I didn't feel for those at all. And the fact that they were coming after the stabbing, which Poor Dad did on Rich Dad, which again didn't feel impactful at all. It just kind of felt left field out of the blue. So the third act to me, man, didn't do justice.
Yeah, you know, like Coen Brothers movies have things happening out of the blue. You know, like randomness is a part of it, or like a random escalation in events. It's a genre movie. Like, you need to get used to the, you know, the story of the movie is in service of its message. And like, there are liberties that are taken. So the fact that that guy escapes and then he gets stabbed, and like the ease with which the family becomes a parasite to the rich family, all of that is just in service of the story. You don't need to take it seriously. But I think the filmmaking, man, that's what really sells it. What did you think of the indoor cinematography? Just unreal.
So I think that's the only comparable to Coen Brothers as filmmakers is the cinematography. It was actually pretty good. I liked it. That was the only concession I had for this movie, was the cinematography was pretty good, especially the indoor, even the outdoor stuff, like when the kids are camping out in the garden and stuff like that. It was all pretty good. I think that's where your comparable to the Coen Brothers comes from. I don't think there's anything else that comes even close to what the Coen Brothers do, including the randomness of storytelling.
The tension building also, man. Like, I think the Coen Brothers are not the best at that. They have that black comedy angle down where things happen that just make you crack up. Like, so much of Fargo to me is like actually hilarious. Like, it's meant to be. And so many of the other movies, Burn After Reading, like, you know, I think Brad Pitt, if I'm not mistaken, just dies randomly in the middle of the movie by mistake or something like that.
But there's such good tension building in No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men is like unique, I mean, because of the Western genre, I guess. But listen, like, the tension building here is it's that feeling of like dread. Like, I was very, very curious what will happen once that inciting incident of them finding the housekeeper and her husband like living there just happened. I was like completely clueless where the movie's going to go next, knowing that it's all going to fall apart. And so for it to build to that crescendo of like that stabbing in the end is actually super satisfying.
You thought that was a satisfying conclusion to where it was building towards? I thought if...
What else could it have been?
Just have the housekeeper and the husband live there till they die. That would have been normal. Like, if this family would have gone on leeching towards the rich, like from the rich family, I think that would have been a right conclusion to this movie. Because it was building towards.
I'm so glad you don't write Oscar-winning movies, Vikram, because I think they would not end up.
I mean, if I would come close, sure, but I have a preference, right? I think the first two acts actually did a decent job in building towards something and helping you. If what is the theme here? Is it the class divide? Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Give me more options.
Oh, you're just gonna yes it all. Never mind. I'm not gonna give you any more options.
No, you must.
I think this movie should have just stayed the course. I think that would have been a brilliant movie.
You can't stay a course. You have to shift gears in acts, right?
Well, it's shifting gears. You don't have to like completely take a left turn. You can shift gears. You can up the level, but stay the course. There are two different things. This guy just goes left.
Do you even like black comedies? Like, this is what black comedies are like.
Of course, I love black comedies.
They approach surrealism or something just like exaggerated by the end of it, almost certainly.
But the first two acts were doing enough of a job of a black comedy. It's not like they weren't touching upon those elements at all.
Why are you getting so heated, man?
Because
I think you need some art therapy. You need to calm down.
you mean go Google it and then just like recite it to myself?
Yeah, I think this represents your rage and your inner turmoil, and I think you might have tuberculosis.
You know what? Coming back to my earlier point about English and subtitles, I understand that if this was like, if I was watching a dubbed English version, I'd miss out on the authenticity, like the authentic Korean, like those sort of reactions, not to become racist.
Control your racism.
Listen,
A Korean person might be listening to this.
I'm sorry, firstly, if they are, I'm really sorry. I don't mean it in a racist way. I'm just trying to illustrate the point that authenticity goes away if I don't watch it in the language it's intended to be.
Yeah, yes, that is something that we have to live with. I mean, what is the option?
He should make English movies, man. Stick to that, dude.
By the way, the only concession I'll give you for this movie is that it's not in English.
See, so you feel the same way.
It's a concession. We're missing out. Man, it must be so good to be able to understand Korean. I'm going to learn Korean so I can understand Bong Joon-ho movies.
Okay, that's never going to happen. Laying a $100,000 bet on that. But, you know, it's like Homie Ajania. You know Homie Ajania?
Yeah, Being Cyrus.
Being Cyrus, great cocktail, barf. Like, it's as simple as that. You're just better at making English language movies.
I don't mind cocktail, firstly.
Dude, please, and cocktail, just for the sake of the fuel, language, you're saying that.
The language is not the problem in cocktail. It's the fact that it's a mainstream movie. Whereas Being Cyrus was not.
He did Finding Fanny as well, which was an English language movie, mainstream actors.
Why are you talking about Homie Ajania?
I'm just trying to say that Ban Ki-moon should make English language movies as opposed to
Ban
Korean
Ki-moon
movies.
Should... Shit,
yes!
I said it.
Yes!
Bong Joon-ho.
Success!
Should do whatever the F he wants. He's earned it. And I bet he will make whatever the F he wants. He has a really famous story out there, by the way, for Snowpiercer, because that was Weinstein Company movie.
Oh, interesting.
With the late, great Harvey Weinstein. He's not dead, but yeah, like, professionally yeah. late, great.
Okay. And he might make a comeback given all things we know.
No, I don't think and don't hope he will, if that's the right grammar, which I know is not.
Mm-hmm.
But he got into it. Harvey Weinstein was really famous for knowing like exactly what the edit of a movie should be. And so Snowpiercer, Bong Joon-ho's first big international project with Captain America himself,
mm-hmm.
Harvey Weinstein is like, more Captain America, more action, like more Chris Evans. And Bong Joon-ho fought for like every scene, every minute. Because he's like, I don't believe in like whatever cinema cut and all that.
Right.
So then he just started making up shit. He's like, this scene has to be in the movie because my father was a fisherman. This scene is an ode to my father. And Harvey Weinstein is like, oh, okay, family is very important in art and all that stuff. He's like, my father's not really a fisherman. I was just making stuff up. So this guy cares about his art, dude. He makes films about things he cares about, like climate change with Snowpiercer and factory farming in Okja. And now this, you got to have a message. Got to make it good.
Well, his art sucks and he should do a better job at managing the UN. How about that?
Please, please. If someone from Korea is listening, I apologize.
Me too.
And that wraps up this week's episode of Film Feud. Thank you for listening. Now we feuded and you, our listeners, get to decide who you think won the feud. You can vote on our social media, at Muncher Movies, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, that's at Muncher Movies. Or you can find us on YouTube, at Muncher Movies, and tell us in the comments who you think won.
You can also find us wherever you guys get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, etc. And please let us know which movie you'd like us to feud next.
Thanks once again to Raga for suggesting this movie to feud.
Catch you guys next week.
Bye-bye.